We're going to be in one verse this morning in the New Testament. That's chapter 11, verse 4. And then we're going to go back to Genesis. I hit on this last Sunday night a little bit, but I just really want to get into it this morning again. And it's the faith of Abel. And of course, with the faith of Abel, there you have the unbelief of his brother Cain. And we're going to look at the two brothers next to each other in comparison, because both of them speak. God, in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." So one verse on Abel. He offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. We want to look at what that is and why it was a more excellent sacrifice, and what his brother Cain offered to God, and how that obtained witness. He was a righteous man. The New Testament would call him a prophet as well. He's still speaking to us. Even though he's dead, he's still speaking to us through his life of faith. God testified of his gifts, and through his faith, he, being dead, still speaks. And we need to remember a few things before we go back to Genesis chapter 4. The first thing is this, Proverbs 14:12. "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." There are those who think they're doing things right, but in reality, they're on the path of death. That would be Cain. The context of chapter 11 was, again, the small believing community was taught by the Spirit to look to the supremacy of Christ above all the things that they were being lured back to. What were they being lured back to? To the temple, to the things that they could see and experience, the priesthood, the sacrifices, something that was tangible, the Old Testament law. And the writer is saying those things are obsolete now. You have the substance in Christ, and don't go back to that, because to go back to that would be to trample the Son of God underfoot and bring him to open shame. To walk away from Christ, to go back to tradition and to religious practices that all ultimately pointed to Christ, would be an offense to the Holy Spirit of God. But he says that's not who you are. He's talking to believers. That's not who you are. Don't cast away the confidence that you have in Christ. Continue to walk by faith. And for those who were among the church, who weren't really saved, but they were among the church, there's a warning there. Because there are those who can hear the word of God. God speaks to them. The Holy Spirit illuminates them. They're aware of the truth. But they make a choice to go their own way. They make a choice to walk away from the truth. And it could be because of temptation, fear of man. It could be because of the pleasures of this world, pride. In Cain and Abel, you have both. You have one that walked by faith, and you have the other one who walked by his own way, by his own desires and self-will. So go back to Genesis chapter 4, if you would. We'll briefly look at some verses here to get some more clarity. Verse 1, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." Cain means gotten or acquired. "Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Abel means breath or vanity. "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. In the process of time, they both came with an offering to the Lord. You have the older brother, Cain, who at this time would be, some Bible scholars believe, 129 years old. You imagine living for 129 years old and still having like another 700 years to go? We don't know how old Abel was. We know, if you were to keep reading the biblical narrative, that Cain would have a lot of descendants. He would have a whole civilization after him. We don't know if Abel had any descendants. It's just silent on the issue. But at a certain time, at a certain place, prescribed by God, a way to worship God, ordained by God, had been given to them. And if you go back to Genesis 3 and go then to Genesis 8 on your own and 15, we see that there was blood sacrifice ordained by God to cover sin for redemption. Adam and Eve were clothed with skins when God found them in their fig leaves. The fig leaves were the work of their own hands. It didn't work well. God clothed them with skins. Where'd he get them? There was no coals back then. God found animals and he sacrificed them. And there was a lesson there, that to cover the nakedness and shame of sin, the life of another has to be taken. And as you go on in the scripture, these places where they worshiped and met with God, there was an altar there. And that altar was always a place of sacrifice, of blood. So there's no doubt that God had given them a specific time. Verse 3, in the process of time. It's an ordained time by God given to them. That's what that means. There's a time when God said, this is when you are to offer. And no doubt again, and there was a way to offer. A place to offer, that they both brought something to the Lord. Of course, one was a farmer, which is fine. One was a shepherd, which is fine. And they both brought an offering to God. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, the work of his hands. These would be some type of fruit or vegetable or grain offering to the Lord. Certainly something that would be respectable to look at. Like if you were to go to a grocery store, it depends on your inclination towards food. Some of us go right to the meat section. But, you know, the beauty of a floral arrangement or vegetables put together, a vegetable tray or a fruit basket, it's attractive. And you can do such, you know, wonderful things with that type of produce. And so I love going through the vegetable fruit aisle. It looks great. I also like the meat aisle. But one would look, if you were to go, see, we see things packaged, so it's more acceptable. But if you looked at the process of the meat getting packaged, it's not so attractive all the time. It's a different story altogether. And hopefully that gives you a picture here. One of these offerings would look to man as more respectable. And one of them would look more repulsive. One of them was respected by God, one was not. And if you and I were to go back to that offering, you might be like, yeah, look at Cain's offering. I mean, he brought the fruit of the ground. That cost him something. As a matter of fact, if you looked at this, it was beautiful, no doubt. It was ordered. Again, to the human sense, Cain's offering would be acceptable. Costly, hard work, but it wasn't God's way. God didn't respect it. And then if you were to look at the appearance of Abel's sacrifice, it was death. It was blood. It was ordered, but it was still not attractive to human senses. Maybe even repulsive to the human sense. Not acceptable to man's inclination. Certainly costly. But that was God's way, and we know that because God respected his offering. And we know that God respected his offering because he tells us here that the Lord respected Abel and his offering. He offered the firstborn of his flock and their fat. But he didn't respect the offering of Cain. What was the response of Cain? Well, the response of Cain was anger. Anger towards who? Ultimately, it was anger towards God. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You can often tell when somebody's really angry because of the appearance of their face. Are you angry? No, I'm not angry. Are you sure? You look really angry. I'm just fine. Well, he was very angry. Something happened that would show that God respected the offering. And again, scholars go back and forth. Well, was there a visible sign where God speak to them? And my opinion is, along with a lot of others, is that fire fell from heaven on the offering of Abel. Because you see that happening at different times in the Old Testament as a sign that God respected it. Well, all of what Cain had given to God, all of what he had done, it was not respected. And at the heart of him, there was sin. And it was manifested in his anger, ultimately, towards God. Why did Cain not offer the way Abel offered? We should ask ourselves that question, because if God respected Abel's offering, and we read in the New Testament that Abel was a man who pleased God by faith, that means that Abel offered by faith, trusting God at his word. So God had given Abel the word of God. That means he also gave Cain the word of God too. They both had the same revelation of God. This is what I've commanded you to offer. Now, to be very clear, if you go into the Old Testament, into the Levitical offerings, grain offerings were acceptable at certain times for certain reasons. But it's always, the foundation is always the blood offering of the firstborn of the flock, because that ultimately points to Christ. He's the firstborn son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So as Christians, the only reason, first of all, we can even come to God is through his offering. That's number one. What he did on the cross for us. And anything we offer to God now is based on that completely. If it wasn't, if the foundation wasn't the cross of Christ, we would have no entrance to God, and all of our religion would fall eternally and infinitely short. God has revealed that to us. God revealed to Cain what he revealed to Abel, but Cain went his own way. God knew that. Cain made a decision to exalt his own mind, his own reason, above the revelation of God. There was something in him that said, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And when God saw that he was angry because his countenance was fallen, verse 6 says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? And then we find out the reason for his anger. Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And so there's an opportunity. Cain, if you do the right thing like your brother did, and no kid wants to hear that, by the way, from a parent. If you did the right thing like your brother, like your sister over here, but it's the truth. If you do well, won't you be accepted? In other words, you have the same opportunity, but you didn't do what was right. Why? if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. The reason why you're not walking by faith like your brother Abel and offering to me the right offering according to my word like your brother Abel is because there's sin. And it lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So in other words, it doesn't have to master you. But the reason why you're angry is because of your own sin, your own rebellion that led you to exalt your own mind above the word of God and God's warning him of the destructive power of sin. It's already taken a toll. He's already heard God rebuke him by not accepting his offering and still comes to him and gives him this opportunity to do what's right. But he says, there's an enemy within you. And of course, there is an enemy on the outside, the devil, who's there to inflame his hatred ultimately towards God. If you look at that passage, one is walking by faith. The other is walking by his own desire, his own way, and his anger, his hatred was really ultimately towards God. And we see that the outcome was murder towards his brother, hatred towards his brother. He rose up as they're talking in the field and he killed him. God comes to him. Where is Abel? I don't know. God wasn't asking a question to see if he knew where Abel was because he couldn't find Abel. He's asking him a question to draw him out. Where is your brother Abel? And he lies to God. I don't know. Is it possible for people to lie to each other? Yeah. Is it possible for a person to lie to God? Apparently. Apparently. God's like, where is he? I don't know. Oh, you don't. Well, who might be knowing who? Now he's got an Irish accent. Oh, who might be knowing who he is? As if God couldn't figure that out. The audacity of this guy to be so blinded to his sin that he's lying to God, and mind you, he is religious. Sin blinds men and women, even to the point where God has spoken to them, and they're still willing to be arrogant to the voice of God. I don't know. And then even ask God a question. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, I can see if a human being is going out with another human being, you go back and forth, but he's going against God. He's actually, with his question, rebuking God. His blood cries to me from the ground. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, Cain. And so we have this record. We have this example for us in the New Testament of Abel, who is righteous. Why was he righteous? Because of his faith in God. And what his faith in God did was it caused him to be obedient to God. And when God said, here's my word, Abel, and whether you understand everything I'm saying to you or why I want you to do this, know that this is the way. And ultimately, this is pointing to the way back to me. Your faith in my word and in my promise, and I want you to offer at the right time, at the right place, in the right way, this type of offering. And as he did that, God says, he's a righteous man. And he testified to it by faith, but it did cost him. It cost him his life because somebody else, in his own way, in his own sin, who rebelled against God and refused to listen to God, his own hatred towards God, hated his brother. Where does murder come from ultimately? If hatred, and when there's hatred towards another human being, ultimately that hatred first is coming towards God. How can you say you love a person, but you hate somebody, right? Or you slander somebody or whatever it is, but or you run them down And how can you say that you love God when that person is made in God's image? There's a contradiction. James talks about that in the New Testament. And here, he's actually accusing God, and then the hatred comes out towards his taking of the life of a man made in the image and likeness of God, and that man was a man of faith who did what was right. Religion, dead religion, will always persecute those who really have faith, those who are alive in Christ. It's been like that throughout all history. And both speak. Both speak. The example of who we want to listen to is Abel, but both are actually speaking to us. James Moffat said this: death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man. When a man leaves this world, be he righteous or unrighteous, he leaves something in this world. He may leave something that will grow and spread like a cancer or a poison, or he may leave something like the fragrance of perfume or a blossom of beauty that permeates the atmosphere with blessing. John MacArthur said this: man leaves this world either a Paul or a Nero. The reality is we have both examples. We have the beauty and the fragrance of an Abel, but then we have the cancer and the poison of a Cain. And that same way of obedience by faith, like Abel, had gone through all through history to the time of Christ and still remains today. And the way of rebellion, clothed in false religion, was carried all the way to the time of Christ as well. It's always been like that. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, he said this because he was hated by the religious system, and he would constantly call them out on their hypocrisy and their showy prayers and their hate, really hatred towards him. And not all Israel, but the religious establishment, they rejected him. They say they love God. He's like, how can you love God? How can you say you believe the word of God, believe Moses, when Moses spoke about me and you hate me? Matthew 23 says, therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He quotes, or he references this passage out of 2 Chronicles 24. Speaking of the Zechariah who was killed that he just mentioned, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. So what Jesus was referencing is all the way from Abel, all the way to this guy, these men of God, these wise men, these teachers, these scribes, these prophets, God would speak to them to repent, and they would get killed. This has been the mark throughout all history. And in all these things, God is still speaking to people to come to him the right way. I mean, think about what Cain did in that passage. He's about to kill his brother. I don't even know if he was aware of what he was going to do, but God is still coming to him. Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And he had this choice. And he, in his hatred towards God and because of sin, and it mastered him, he rebelled against God. And then we have the voice of Abel crying out to God for vengeance, his blood. That was a cry of vengeance. But we have in the New Testament this life of Abel as an example for us to live by faith. Campbell Morgan said this about what Jesus said. He said, one can almost feel the withering force of his strong and mighty indignation. Indignation directed not against the people, but against their false guides. And yet behind it all is his heart. And the woes merge into a wail of agony, the cry of a mother over her lost child. Think of what Jesus is saying. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I would have gathered your children together. I wanted to gather to you, but you would not. And that's the reality of it. Here's God calls to Abel, he responds. God calls to Cain, and he would not. He would, they would not. So God wants us to listen to Abel as he's still speaking to us, because his life and death teach us that any man or any woman who simply trusts God, lives by faith in the Son, can please him. That's the message right here. That's the call to live by faith, to walk by faith. Abel gives us that example. He wants us to please him. He says that we can please him, but there's other voices, other ways that are presented before us that seem right but are not right. And those are other voices that reject God's word. They're actually an affront to God and a challenge to God. You look at Cain. He actually challenged God. His way is an affront to God. There's one way, and the way is the way of faith in his Son. And God tells us, I want you to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the context of the first century church that was going through this trial. Okay, you know, I'm being lured back to the temple, to the sacrifices. God's saying, don't do that. The way of faith is a way of trusting God's word. And I want you to look at these examples, and I want you to look at Abel. He's still speaking to us. He was a righteous man. Don't shrink back. Don't draw back. Continue on by faith and listen to his word and listen to Abel. And so there's six things that we need to listen to. And the first one is this. There's two cities that men belong to. You're in one of two cities. Augustine said this, because he wrote a book called The City of God. Cain was the firstborn, and he belonged to the city of men. After him was born Abel, who belonged to the city of God. There's a city of men, and there's a city of God. If you looked at the life of Cain next to Abel, just with the natural eyes, human instinct, people would say, Cain should write a book on success. He lived very long. He had multiple descendants. Many of those descendants, their names would closely mirror the names of the righteous line of Seth. He built a city. There is his own religious system. Success before men, yes. Before God, no. God says that's the city of men. If you were to look at Abel's life, he seemed weaker, even by his name. He wasn't the chosen one. His mom said, gotten, acquired. That's got to be him. Maybe this is the one who's going to crush the serpent. In reality, it was the opposite. The one who came afterwards, the one who had that short life, who was cut off, who, as far as we know, didn't have any descendants, looked defeated. But God says, I want you to listen to him. I want you to look at his life as an example that pleased me. If you look at like a lot of the people in the New Testament, the martyrs, James was the first apostle who was put to death. He was young. His brother John lived and was never ultimately killed as a martyr. He's the only one. But James died young. Stephen died young. If you were to look at the Lord Jesus, he looked like a political religious failure. It was on the cross that God made payment for the sin of the world. So we learn not to look at success by the way man sees success. And we are to ask ourselves this question, which city do I want to be identified with, the city of men or the city of God? Because God rejected the city of men represented by Cain. It's the city of God, the city of men and women who live by faith in God, get their value by God, their respect by God, but what he says about them. We're learning today, again, thousands of years later, that God says, listen to Abel. Cain and his descendants are gone. The truly righteous one, lesson number two, is Abel, not Cain. Cain actually was of the wicked one. That's very difficult to think about it like that, but that's what John tells us. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. It says right there. He was of the wicked one. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. There are tares and wheat. There are those who look religious and seem righteous, but God actually says, but they're rejected. God knows exactly who they are. If you looked at Cain and Abel next to each other, you might not be able to tell the difference, much of the difference by their appearance. But again, one's righteous, one was not righteous, one was unrighteous. One was of God, one was of the wicked one. We also see that faith will always be accompanied by works. Cain's works weren't from faith. He had works. He had energy. He had thought. He had care. He put a lot into that. But it wasn't of faith. It was by self-will. It was his own idea of what he thought God should be offered. So he didn't really have faith in God. True faith in God will be obedient to God's word, his revelation. And Abel's faith was demonstrated by his offering, because his offering was obedient to God's revelation. So he submitted his own mind to God's revelation. He might have been like, I don't really want to offer this poor little firstborn lamb, but that's what God says. And so if that's what he says, I'm going to trust him and offer this to him in obedience. Faith, true faith, will always be accompanied by obedience. Like wings of a bird, there's no flight with just one. So real faith will always have obedience to the word of God. The fourth thing he wants us to understand is the believers, true believers, will love each other. Cain hated Abel. I believe Abel loved his brother. Doesn't say that he loved his brother, but he loved God. And because he loved God, that love is going to even overflow towards his brother. Cain hated Abel. It was destroying him. He who says he's in the light, 1 John 2, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's exactly what happened to Cain. Christians, those who are taught by God, are taught to love one another. That's a mark of a person who's walking by faith in God. They love God. They love each other. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. God's Spirit teaches us to love one another. And all the religion in the world, all the works that a person like a Cain can do can never cover that up. He had hatred. in his heart. Why? Because there was sin lurking in there. The root of everything that went wrong with Cain was sin. The root of everything that went right with Abel, the one who's our example, was his faith. And it doesn't mean that Abel didn't have sin ever in his life, because he was a sinner like you and I, but he had faith in God, and he trusted God, and that's why he pleased God, and God said he's righteous, and it cost him his life, cost him everything. When God speaks to us about sin in us, listen to him. Cain didn't listen to him. Abel listened to God and obeyed him. And he allowed God to master him. God came to Cain and he challenged him, and he didn't let God master him. He warned him to get right. Don't let sin have the master. If you do right, won't you be accepted? And the answer to that question is yeah. But he didn't listen to him. What is the way to master sin? There's only one way to master sin. We prevent sin from ruling over us by allowing God to master us first. That's it. Without God as our master, we'll be slaves to sin. The difference between an Abel and a Cain was one allowed God to be his master. When God speaks to us about something, be honest. And allow the master to master you. That's what Abel did in his life. He did that by faith. God sought Cain to repent, but sadly he went his own way. I know a lot of us grew up listening to Frank Sinatra. Great voice. But one of his most famous songs, I Did It My Way, is a song of rebellion ultimately against God. I Did It My Way was the song of Cain. Jude, verse 11, when warning against false prophets, says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That is the way of false worship, rooted in sin and self-will, that says, my way above God's way. Abel was a worshiper. And that's who God seeks. Worshippers. True worshipers, Jesus said in John chapter 4, worship in spirit and in truth. Born in the spirit, in the inner man, by faith in God's word, and relying completely on his finished work on the cross for us, and trusting him, and saying, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling, all glory to you. I repent of my own way, self-will, of the sin that's in there, Lord, that you point out in me. I come to your cross, and I put my trust in the blood offering of your son, Jesus Christ. And for us, God wants us to walk in that godly example of trust in God's revelation. Will it always go well for us? Look at the life of Abel. As a matter of fact, as we go through Hebrews chapter 11, some of them had incredible success stories, amazing things that happened to them, wonderful rescues, and we'll see some of them. But they all had ups and downs in their life. Some of them did not. But what pleases God is faith. I trust you, Lord. We're reminded last that the wages of sin is death. When God told Cain, his blood cries out from the earth, he was saying his blood cries out for vengeance. It's a serious judgment on those who rebel against God. Cain was a marked man by God. He would go out, and yes, he would have his civilization, and he would live very long, but he was lost because he went his own way. The New Testament, book of Hebrews, says Jesus' blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Wait a second. You just said we should listen to Abel. Yes, we should listen to Abel, learn from Abel, but his blood that was spilled spoke to God for vengeance. Lord, take vengeance. God said there's going to be vengeance, requirement for that murder. But Jesus' blood speaks of peace and reconciliation to anybody who comes to him by faith. That's who he is. Now, there's those, like the Jewish leadership in Jesus' day, who he said, but you would not. It's up to men. Cain would not. They would not. Jesus said, I would have gathered you. So for the believer, just remember, even when we need repentance in our life and forgiveness, he says, I will gather you. We always come to him by faith. And we always rely on him completely for forgiveness and granting of repentance and for leading in our life by faith. It's always there for us, and we should continually do that. But if we haven't first come to him for salvation, he says, I will gather you. It's my will that you would come. But you have to say, I will come your way by faith. That's where it all begins. Amen?